Hey guys, this episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Go to audiblepodcast.com/wow and get a free audiobook download of your choice today. With over 100,000 titles available, it's just there for the taking. Get a free book now by going to audiblepodcast.com/wow.
Horde side.
You are listening to The Instance.
And welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, the World of Warcraft podcast. So you might want to. I don't know. I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm not going to say you don't have to. I mean, you don't have to, but you can if you want to. Clearly, many of you do anyway. It's me. It's Scott Johnson. It's episode 335 for Friday, August 2nd, 2013. And I am joined by Dills. Hello, Dills.
I'm going to say that you guys actually do have to.
Do
everybody
have to?
Has to.
All right.
No. We're doing it. We already are
well,
doing it.
Well, we already know we have to, but now you're saying
they have to
also.
You have to as well. Everybody right now, you. Yeah, you.
Okay.
On the
enough.
Bus.
I was on with Roe the other day for the Realm Maintenance podcast.
Nice.
Celebrating their 50th. And
I did that one as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. It was great. He's a very conversational, fun style uses over there. And we got deep into all sorts of stuff we never even have time on this show for, like, I don't know, the more esoteric feelings about this game and what it's meant over the years and things like that.
Sure.
Had a really good time. You guys should check it out. It's a good show, and he does good work over there. So do that, and then dig through the archives and find Dills. He's in there someplace.
Yeah. So I was on the episode he did before we had our 300th episode.
Oh, okay.
So he kind of did like an instant spectacular thing, and it was like, I think most of his shows are fairly short.
Mm.
The show that I did with him ended up being like an hour and a half or something. I mean, we talked for a while.
Yeah.
It was really good. So he's on our now hiatuside.
I think hiatuside is a good word for it, dude.
Are now on break raid team.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. Flex rating may affect all of this in some weird way, but it is another week of me, a little LFR here, a little pet battles there, a little pining for 5-4 there, but no raid team. And it's a little bit weird because to have that on hiatus the way it is, and hiatus side is a really good term because
hiatus side, yeah.
The way a couple of people went out, they had a very sort of aside kind of effect to it. Yeah, I think so. But for the most part, you know, everybody wants to figure out a way to make it work long haul. We're just in that weird period again, man. It's just this summer, dog days of summer, kind of nobody's playing as much. It's hard to get a full raid on a Wednesday night when it's still light outside at 9 o'clock at night.
Well, here's what happens too. At this point of summer, people start to realize like, I haven't done enough yet. Mm. I got to do stuff. The summer's almost over. Like you start to think about it in those terms.
Yeah.
Even though it's not almost over, but you know, we're like halfway through. But you still start to go like, I got to take advantage of my summertime, and you know, people start playing even less. So, like even if it's been tough so far, it would get even tougher. So this is actually, if you're gonna go on hiatus side, you might as well do it now. So
if you're gonna commit hiatus side, now would be the time to do it.
Hiatus side, exactly.
I can tell you though, you know, as much as I'm sad about that, I it does make you appreciate these other ways the game lets you play it. But I have to say, it's amazing how much less fun you're having when your raid team's not together.
True. Yeah, you're not. There's like not a like a light at the end of the tunnel for grinding things, which is that raid night. That to me was always the thing because it forced me to go out and earn the valor points I needed every week and do all the stuff that I needed, like, you know, gather herbs on my alts, then go to my other alt who is an alchemist and make my flasks and all that kind of stuff. Like that kind of forced me to do all those things. And in turn, I actually had fun doing those things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to raid, which was the funnest thing.
Yeah. So that was what you worked for. That's what you pined for, hoped for. And even if you were doing so some of the guys on the team were always, you know, hacking away at everything to sort of have feasts ready and have flasks ready and all that stuff. And that's great. And they are just incredible parts of the raid team. But even those who came to the raid, not necessarily bringing all of that stuff, but they brought their A game and would play real hard. even they have, it's just, it feels like the game, it's funny because I think Blizzard wants us to feel this way about the raid experience. They want us to have these relationships and then have those relationships roll into these coordinated, cohesive groups that tackle this content head on and try to, you know, take the game to its limits and all that stuff. That is what they want. But when that's gone, because they've done a great job at giving you that, when it's gone, you really do feel like the hole. Like, man, this is, what am I grinding for now? What's the point of this?
It's like the band broke up, you know?
Right. That's exactly right. Man, so
we used to play shows all the time. Remember that?
You're waiting for George Harrison to do his Got My Mind Set on You song and no more Beatles, man.
Yeah.
But I actually feel pretty good about the way Flex is going to work and the way we'll fit into that.
I think that it's going to bring back a lot of teams who kind of go through the same struggles we went through and stuff like that. So, you know, I mean, there was a time when we were rocking it pretty hard. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel bad about what the Sin legacy will be. And I'm looking forward to the future of it when I can actually get back in there, which I think I will be able to now. It's looking good with this Flex rating thing. I feel like it's going to be a lot more conducive to the time commitments I can put into the game. So I'm happy about it. I know some people, we had the whole discussion. Was it last week?
Yeah, last week. Big deep talk about that.
Hardcore people don't like it, whatever. Mm-hmm. Trying to find reasons why that's justified. And, you know, the people like us are going, yes, this works perfect for us.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's really great for a huge portion of the players. And I would remind people who are still adamantly against that or feel that somehow that affects them negatively. And by the way, all week, tweets and emails going, this is a real problem for us, for me and my 10 men. And I'm like, well, why is this a problem for a 10 men? If you are already a solid 10 man rating team and you're all showing up every week and you're making your progression and you're doing what you need to do, then you are already doing the thing that you want to do and you're getting better gear than I ever will in Flex. So what's the problem? And nobody has an answer for me. Too. Yeah.
You get to be better. Right. And that's the thing you want to be, right? You want to be better.
Right. So. But nobody can answer me that simple question as to why, if you are so set in your 10 or 25 man group now, how does this negatively affect you or how does this affect you at all? And the answer is either either they don't have an answer or they'll come back and say, well, we'll have people on our team who are tempted now to slack and bit by bit. And I understand the fears of those things that if this is easier for them or whatever. But Blizzard's not, to get to my original point, Blizzard's not stupid. They know when they make a big move like this, it's not just because they're sitting around bored. It's because they see either a need or a hole or a way of approaching a problem. And they see a bunch of players who were raiding, aren't raiding now. They know that their player base is maturing, getting older, having, you know, bigger jobs, graduating school. Just like there's stuff happening in their lives. So they're like, all right, we need a third way to keep people engaged in the game and still be able to live their lives. So that's all this is. If you've got a solid 10 man, relax. You're good.
Yeah, you're good to go. You don't have anything to worry about. And plus, here's the other thing that Flex rating is going to do. It's going to bring people into rating who previously their experience was just LFR.
Yeah.
So maybe their experience wasn't very positive, but they were doing it because it was the next part of the game. It's going to bring those people to this next level, which then makes them more ready to jump to that more competitive level, which means there'll be more people to recruit for solid 10-man groups, you know? And it's just, to me, it just seems like it largens? It makes the pool larger.
It largens it.
It engorges the pool.
Whoa.
The pool will become engorged with lots of people who maybe previously hadn't been raiding. I really think that's what's going to happen. So you're going to see more and more people who are going to be going, well, let's take that next step and let's do a solid 10-man team or 25-man team that raids every week and does heroic stuff and things like that. So
I
can't see the negatives that these people can see, apparently, but maybe I'm just short-sighted. I don't know.
Well, I was going to call the show Alchemist Anonymous, but I might now title it Engorging the Pool. So we'll see. That won't confuse anybody. So I've been I've got a little game itch. I'll tell you the thing that is sucking me in and
scratching your game itch.
Oh my gosh, a big old game itch I have. It's Rogue Legacy on Steam.
You mentioned this last week, so this is still going for you, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here, but it's got its claws deep, deep, deep into me, and it's this 2D, you know, silly art style goofball thing, but it's really hard to stop, and it reminds me. what's it like? It's like they, it reminds me of like the most addictive parts of any of the Diablo games.
Okay.
But rolled into this more action-y kind of almost like what's the word? A Castlevania kind of vibe. And it's okay. hard, it's difficult, and it pisses
Wait, is it
you side-scrolling? Off. Yeah, I totally side scrolling, yeah. Okay. And it's a rogue game where, you know, you die a lot and you have one life and that's it. When you're dead, you're dead. But your money is inherited by your heirs, and your heirs are usually three people, and each of these heirs, both women and men, have different traits. So some might be short, some might be tall, some might have special abilities, some might not, some might have some serious detriments, like they can't see color at all, like they're colorblind. Some people are nearsighted, so everything close to you is in perfect focus, but far away stuff is kind of blurred out. Like weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
You could be gay in there. Yeah, that's the legacy part. So you send your new dude in there, and now he's fighting the good fight. When he dies, he or she dies, your next progeny comes along, and you keep going. You just keep picking a new guy. And your previous money is carried over from your last fight. You take that money, you buy upgrades, and oh, it's so good, dude.
I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this is like playing Super Mario with like some tiny tower, with some. What was the other game that you mentioned? It's like you're combining all of these little things. So you're building your guys up.
Yep.
But the graphics are very tiny towerish. I gotta say.
Yeah, it's old school.
Then building your castle up. Yeah. Like that's like tiny tower.
Yeah, and that's all. And that stuff's like old school WoW talent tree kind of. So you're putting points in things, and you're buying those points, and yeah. After a while, those points get really expensive, so you got to have really good runs and be very careful. And and the other thing to mention is it's always randomly generated, so there's never the same level twice. So there's that nice bit of, you know, changing it up.
But then, yeah, I see the Diablo type thing, which is the, like just constantly getting stuff.
Loot. Oh my gosh, I found a chest. It has a rune. I got to go buy that rune. Crap, I don't have enough money. So the next run with my son is going to be the best run ever. I'm going to come back with $2,000. I'm going to buy that rune, and now I can fly for a brief minute. Or I can dash.
This is an indie game?
Yeah.
This is an indie game, isn't it?
Totally indie game. It needs to be on the Vita is where it needs to be, because I would sit in bed all night and play that.
All right. I'm going to open up my computer after this. And
recommended, dude. Recommended.
All right. This looks fun.
And knowing what I know about you and the way you like your kind of loot pattern, I think you would eat this up.
Yeah, I have a feeling I would.
Get a controller, though. If you don't have a controller, it's
not good. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I have one. But
yeah. If you do, that's much better.
The only reason I have an Xbox controller is...
wired. I mean, I've been using that the whole time. I'm hoping the Xbox One will let you do that, too. But it's great. And if you're looking for, you know, a way to kind of get you between your bouts of WoW time, it's just an awesome time killer. It's awesome.
Cool.
I know you've been doing a lot of PvP. Where are you at with all that?
I finally got to the... I've been doing PvP, be getting a little frustrated here and there. Finally, I decided to take the plunge, and I blacklisted AV and IOC, so Alterac Valley and Isle of Conquest, which means that I am part of the problem and not the solution, Scott. So I don't know.
Hold on now. Like you, I wouldn't say you're part of the problem if you are. I mean, if you're genuinely frustrated with those particular battlegrounds / AV is, I guess, still a battleground, but if you're unhappy there. Then I wouldn't say you're part of the problem. You shouldn't have to be forced to do that stuff if it sucks.
This is why I say I'm part of the problem, is because the reason why the Horde are so terrible in those two battlegrounds is because some of the better players, the better PvPers on the Horde side, have all blacklisted these two. So basically what ends up happening now is if you don't have them blacklisted, you tend to get them more often because there's less Horde people playing them.
Right.
So you end up actually getting into those more often than you would. If you look at the stats, Alterac Valley has always been heavily skewed towards Alliance. There's map advantages. The bridge would be, I'd say, the biggest map advantage that Alliance have in Alterac Valley. But all of the other battlegrounds, the Horde are winning more often, right? All of the other ones. Alterac Valley and Isle of Conquest are so heavily weighted towards the Alliance, it's like ridiculous. It's almost like I can't even remember the last time a Horde team I was on won in Isle of Conquest. I just can't even remember. So it's what's happened is all of the good PvPers are not in those two two battlegrounds. So you end up with the people who are just running around on their own, like chickens with their heads cut off, just like, oh, I'll go get the glaive by myself, you know, or like everybody's going to just rush the center and nobody's going to get any of the other resources that are actually kind of a big deal. And you just, you have no chance.
Yeah.
So I've blacklisted those two, just like all the other PvPers who got frustrated.
Well, it's interesting because AV, I mean, was always designed, the idea behind AV was like, hey, let's do one that isn't a mirror map, like it's not identical on both sides and there's some sort of middle choke point. Let's actually make a natural looking map. And that's the problem with those and why hardly anyone ever does them and why games like Dota and all the MOBAs and all these other games can't ever do that, because it's nearly, maybe fully, but at least nearly impossible to balance.
Yeah.
So Blizzard's never figured that out.
If you make a map that's not exactly identical, it's to balance it means moving things, you know, a few yards or closer or farther away until it takes us the same amount of time to reach them, kind of thing. And it's just, you can never really do it, you know. So I would actually like to see, I don't think it would actually work because the style of the two keeps is so different, but I would like to see where you just randomly get assigned one of the keeps. So like the Horde could actually start in the Alliance keep.
I see. So it's the, when you start, you're not necessarily always on the...
You don't know which side you're going to be on until you come busting out of the cave and you're like, oh, okay. And then you figure it out.
Well, the problem now is with the genies out of the bottle, rabbits out of the hat, because if you suddenly spawn on the one that has sucked historically, you're just going to rage quit or you're just going
to... Yeah, everybody's going to be like, oh, screw this. Yeah. But the thing is that it's gotten to the point now where it's like a vicious cycle. Like the good PvPers have left those two battlegrounds. They blacklisted them. Just by having the option to blacklist battlegrounds, right? So now they have blacklisted those, and now it's just gotten even more lopsided because the good Alliance players are not blacklisting those. They're like, yes, hell yeah, free honor. It's really easy to win in here, and it's just never going to – it's never going to flip around the other way. It's just never going to happen now. We're too far gone, basically.
Yeah.
But, you know – the good news is once I blacklisted those, I won like 15 battlegrounds in a row. So Horde still dominates all the other ones.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other problem, right? Like,
yeah.
Now you've set up a scenario where the Horde players know where to win and they know where not to go and what to avoid.
Yeah.
The Alliance players have the same thing. I mean, they are probably more pissed than we are because they're losing at everything else and statistically anyway. Maybe those are closer battles. Maybe you have a better chance or whatever. But all the good Horde players are making their perhaps otherwise balanced maps feel unbalanced again because all those Horde players are there now. They're not in AV losing.
No, exactly. The good players are now more prevalent in these other battlegrounds. So it's a problem that I don't know if Blizzard really has like a real solution for right now. But then let's say you get to the point where you decide you want to start doing your PvP achievements, right? And you need to get all your AV achievements, which, I mean, some of those are really tough. I don't know if you've ever done, what is it, Alterac Valley All-Star or something like that.
No,
you
have never to even tried.
Two things. No. You have to cap two nodes, defend two nodes, cap two graveyards, defend two graveyards, whatever. It's all this stuff you got to do. You got to kill a certain number of people. You got to kill somebody in that middle area. You got to do all this different stuff all within one AV. And that is really hard to do now because the battles are so quick and basically just dominated by one side. It's really hard to have those long, drawn-out battles you used to get where you did actually kind of participate in all facets of it. And I got this a long time ago, but it was hard then. I can't even imagine trying to get it now. So,
oh my gosh, yeah. And who's even trying? Maybe the Alliance guys.
Yeah, somebody. I mean, that's the thing. There's always these achievement hunters who are trying to get them, and I'm sure Alliance players are. It's easy for them, or it might not even be easy because the battle's so quick. You know, but it's you know, you have these achievements in the game, and you kind of can't do them anymore. So I don't know. Maybe Blizzard has a plan for this. Maybe they don't even care. I'm not really sure, but I'm admitting that I have I plunged into the being part of the problem, and I got too frustrated. I tried not to blacklist these. I tried to just continue doing all the stuff, but
look, you're an altruistic dude. You want to do right by community and build and help and not hurt. But at some point, you're paying $15 a month.
Yeah,
to
and
lose
I'm not having...
consistently. So why would you want to do that?
Yeah, but here we go. Wait, I have a platform.
Okay,
all those people who are listening right now who are Horde, I encourage you guys, maybe just for a week, maybe just like this upcoming week, let's all unblacklist it and see what happens.
Just for, yeah, I like this idea.
Let's just all do that and see what happens. I don't actually know how many PvPers actually listen. I think we still probably have more PvEers and more casual players. But if there are those PvPers out there, and I know there are because you email us and you tell us that we need to talk about it more, unblacklist it just for the week. And then after that, if it's still frustrating, re-blacklist.
Imagine a world where all 300 million Americans picked up one piece of trash on the same day. Mm-hmm. Just imagine what would happen. Well, probably we'd have huge landfills way bigger than we'd want.
Yeah, exactly. Let's try it. I'll start it. I'll lead things off, and I will unblacklist right after this show.
Brilliant.
Unblacklist.
I love it.
If you too, maybe we can make a small dent.
Well, good luck, everybody. Hopefully this all works out.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
Oh, yeah. Big news is Terpster's not here. I totally forgot to mention that. He has some big work thing last minute. Yeah. So
I thought maybe he was just muted or something. I just couldn't tell.
Yeah, I meant to say it earlier, but he, like 30 seconds before the show, had something come up and couldn't be here. So hopefully everything's all right, and we will see him next time. Today's big news brought to you by Typefrag.com, the ultimate in Ventrilo service. You get a 10-man, a 25-man, or a brand new Flex Raid. Doesn't matter. Whatever it is, they have a service for you. Go to Typefrag.com. Get your vent on at Typefrag.com. All right. Blizzard is working on a new direction for the Titan project. We knew this already.
But we
didn't know this. He says, and when I say he, I mean Mr. Mike Warheim says, unlikely to be subscription-based. Mm-hmm. Here's an actual post on Polygon is where I got the first report. This was during an earnings call. Blizzard Entertainment's Mike Morheim offered a brief update. On the company's in-development next-generation MMO, codenamed Titan, during an investor call today, this was yesterday, saying the unannounced game is unlikely to be a subscription-based game, like in the case of World of Warcraft. Quote, we are in the process of selecting a new direction for the project and re-envisioning what we want the game to be. While we can't talk about details yet, it is unlikely to be subscription-based. He also says this, I want to reiterate that there has not been an official announced or projected release date for this game. Always the safe thing to do. He said commitment to quality has always been on the core of Blizzard values. We've gone through this type of iterative process before several times in the past, and we create genre-defining games, he said. So seems to me like a appeasement to probably many investors and shareholders that were wondering what the hell, because it's between their last earnings calls that we got news that Titan had been reset, quote-unquote reset.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some stuff that they're carrying over, like certain ideas that they really like, but the overall tone obviously just didn't match what their goal was, and they decided to just kind of re-envision that and make sure that it was matching up with the quality that they so seek.
Yeah, it's their goal in life, right? To make good games, mm-hmm. polish them up. And you reminded me that it wasn't that long ago we had that weird Reddit AMA from that ex-Blizzard employee.
Yeah.
Who really, really, really liked where Titan was at and where it was going. And again, this is a dude that was let go. So take that, take whatever he says with whatever grain of salt you decide to give it. But it did make me, when you were talking about this pre-show, it made me go, oh, man, wouldn't it be cool if Blizzard would just give us behind the scenes something? Like, what was it going to be? What were you doing?
Yeah.
What made you change your mind? Like, to me, that's fascinating. And I'm sure they see this process as very close to the vest, Blizzard's way of doing things, don't need to share this with the rest of the development world, and I don't blame them. But at some point, wouldn't it be cool to get, like, I don't know, even just some Vimeo video that I could pay $5 to watch?
What
that
if
would
they
just
put out a game that was called, like, Blizzard's Graveyard or something like that?
Right.
And you could play, like, just demo-style versions of the games that they've scrapped.
That'd be fantastic.
Just a couple of levels or, whatever.
Like, let me see Warcraft Adventures in its final, whatever form it took. Let me play StarCraft Ghost for the first couple levels or something.
Yeah, exactly. Just a little bit.
I would love that.
Just a little bit of it.
I would love it. You don't have to tell us why. You don't have to tell us what the problems were. You don't have to give us any insider info. Just let me play a stealth level in that
game. Let me dick around in there for a little while and see what it was.
Let us dick around, Blizzard.
Yeah, please. You're not giving me enough chances to dick around, Blizzard. Not with Warcraft, Starcraft, and all that stuff. I have nothing to dick around with in your genre.
Vast world. In other news, part of the call, there are a few other notes that came out of this. The decline in subscribers in quarter two for World of Warcraft, which were up to about 600,000 subscriber loss, was more evenly split between Asia and the West this time, so about 300K each. It says Blizzard will continue to work on making the process of rejoining the game smoother. We have a kind of an interesting call about that later, whether or not it's very smooth now. Went on to say the subscriber churn rate was very positively impacted by 5.2 and 5.3, meaning these numbers would have been, I assume that means they've been much worse had 5.2 and 5.3 not hit well.
That means patches kind of give them little bumps along the road. So
you'd hope, right?
Yeah, it should. Yeah, right.
You'd hope that. Well, that's the whole idea, I think. It's not the whole idea. There are players that'll never unsub, and they're just going to keep playing, and they can't wait for new content. And you're there to make them happy. But I feel like more than ever, at least this is what I've noticed. But I think more than ever, Blizzard is interested in that subscriber law. Well, they have to be. I mean, 600,000 subscribers gone is a big chunk of your base.
It's a chunk. Yeah, I mean, especially if they were still at 12 million, 600,000 would feel like a drop in the bucket almost compared to how it feels when you're at 8 million.
There are games with 100,000 players or less, and this is six times over that. That's like them losing their entire player base six times over. So you start looking at it with that perspective, it's a pretty scary number. Is it scary compared to 7 million? No, but so, you know, they have to think of this. They have to work on it.
But they're not in that position they were in before where they could say, hey, it doesn't matter if the subscriber numbers went down a little bit, we're still the dominant force. I mean, at this point, at any point in time, you could lose a million and a half, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, we're kind of barely, you know, holding on to this lead here. So it's definitely at the point now where anytime the numbers go down, you're talking about going back 4 or 5 years to find when they were as low as they are now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and that was during a growth period, their upswing.
Yeah, exactly.
Be interesting. That chart you actually posted it on somewhere. Facebook.
Oh yeah. I posted it on Twitter. This was a chart actually I found on Reddit and, I did cite the user. I can't remember now, but this user had basically gone in and looked at the announced numbers over time quarterly. And there were, I think, 3 quarters or so during Lich King where he couldn't find the numbers. But basically, you can assume that was during the 12 million height, basically. So you can kind of assume that they were kind of steady during that period.
Right.
But you could definitely see it's a bell curve. It's going up, peaking, and then slowly going down since then. Gradual decline.
I'm trying to find it here. I can't find it. But it was really, I thought it was really... Oh, here it is.
It's in my Twitter history somewhere.
Yep, I found it. It was part of a Reddit post as well. Let's see. Let me pull up the image file.
Yeah. So this guy made this. He didn't find it somewhere. He actually went and did the work and made this thing. At least he claimed to.
Yeah. So. It is interesting that quarter one through three in 2009, like you said, and quarter one through two in 2010 are so nebulous. Like nobody can get good numbers for that. But it's funny. Quarter one of 2005, launch in late 2004, and you know, you don't really count that. That was November of 2004 is when it launched. That first quarter, 1.5 million, which was already bigger than anybody had ever been with an MMO. And then pretty much just straight up growth all the way up through quarter four of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Peaking at 2010 at 12, holding steady till early 2011. And then now we're seeing the decline we're seeing.
Yeah. And it's been pretty consistent ever since then that we go down. And the thing is, if it is like that actual curve, the bell curve, what we'll see is a faster decrease for the next 4 quarters or so. And then you'll have the slow hangers on who kind of, obviously it's going to be the percentage game as well there. So it'll kind of slowly go down, dwindle until you get back to where they were at the very beginning, which will be like, so it'll be like the last hangers on of the game.
Yeah.
Like the people still playing EQ and EQ2 and stuff like that.
Man, look at Lich King.
Peak
of the
series. Which we'll talk about more. Like this is interesting when we hear about the new Warcraft plot stuff, but that was clearly the most popular story, I would say.
Yeah.
As far as Warcraft
is concerned. In chat room, in case I know somebody else has pasted it, but there you go. There's the link. Go check that out. It's worth looking at. They also mentioned in this earnings call, Blizzard All-Stars is in wider internal testing. It will be talked more about later this year. Probably at BlizzCon is my guess. It's nice to know that that isn't gone dead or whatever, because they've said hardly a thing about it.
Yeah, you haven't really heard anything, but, you know, so it's still there. Okay.
Well, in 2011, good. They showed us the game as it was, and then pretty quick after that, they announced they were starting over.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of the Blizzard MO, though, you know?
Well, it is.
We announce it, we come up with an idea, then we go, nah, let's not do that.
We're not loving that. Let's start it over. And now they live in a world where League of Legends and now Dota 2 and even to some lesser degree Heroes of New Earth, these games have just exploded. And it's huge now. And so Blizzard has to, at some point, I think it's the same disease that Titan has. I think Blizzard has to look at these things and go, ooh, you know, it's a different world than when we started this. Like, this isn't the same.
Yeah, it always will. Yeah.
They have
the thing with saying this is not going to be subscription-based because, you know, they probably realize at some point that's not the model that's going to work anymore.
Right.
So they're going back to that as well.
It's crazy. Diablo 3 has sold over 12 million copies, so it continues to do well. Despite some people are haters on it, I still think that game's great. And they're doing just fine. That's a lot of... It's a lot of damn copies of a video game.
Yeah.
You don't look. You are lucky in today's environment if your game sells 6 million like BioShock Infinite, one of the highest regarded games of recent memory. Mm-hmm. You're doing really, really well. If you sell a million, you're at least in, I don't know, last few years, maybe not so much now, but that used to be that you've made it. That's sequel worthy. Blah blah blah.
Sure. No, you're making money.
12 million is a damn. That's a huge freaking number.
That's a success. You can't look at it any other way, honestly. I mean, even if the game has its detractors, you can't look at it and say this was not successful.
Right. And I don't know how you avoided it. I mean, I don't love what they did with the Real Money Auction House in the beginning either, or the balance of loot and all that other stuff. But if you play it now, that game is tight and
it is
worth your time.
So tight.
Speaking of tight, the new this is not a good transition. The new Warcraft movie plot details have emerged. At least these are rumors. We don't know if any of this stuff is true. But
tight rumors.
Right. Warcraft's events will reportedly unfold against the backdrop of orcs and humans and Tides of Darkness. So we are not even in the WoW universe. We're not even in Warcraft 3's universe. Well, we're in the universe, but we're not in any of these time frames. According to these rumors, the first two installments in the beloved series, rather than the looser, more open air experience of World of Warcraft, not only simply to slavishly reinterpret the feel of the game for a different medium, Jones, this is speaking of Duncan Jones, the director, apparently plans on going full bore with the fantasy elements and crafting a legitimate genre film as well as a bona fide video game movie. I don't know why there has to be a difference there, but just make a good fantasy film that happens to be World of Warcraft stuff, and you can leave the game part out. Anyway, picture the scope of Lord of the Rings, but with characters like, let's see, I never say his name right. It's
Khadgar.
Khadgar and Medivh, of course, and Lothar serving as leads. So here's the question.
If I always we're going, said Medivh. Is Medivh wrong?
I always thought it was Medivh or
Medivh?
I don't know.
Medivh?
I thought it was
Medivh. I always said Medivh.
Medivh? Whatever.
But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, this opens the question, right? Like, we're having a little trouble with that name. And you didn't jump on the wagon until Warcraft 3 anyway.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious, though, too. So if are they combining both of these into one movie? Because that would mean they'd have to cover the First and Second War.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot.
So they cover the portal appearing. They cover the orcs coming through the portal and not really being... as powerful as they should be to take over the humans, and the humans having to become powerful because they weren't ready for an invasion. Like, they got it. That's a lot of stuff. And then going back through the portal and destroying the portal. Like, it's a lot of stuff to cover.
It's also a much more two-dimensional story. Like, that's one of my problems with it is maybe he has more room here to flesh it out. But one of the things I liked about Warcraft 3 and the thing I like about Thrall as a character is it brings a certain, empathetical approach or humanity, if for lack of a better term, to the orcs, and makes that story interesting and more conflicted.
The orcs are kind of just the bad guys, pretty obviously.
Yeah,
at this point,
they're just raving lunatics at the time.
Yeah, they were just like, "All right, let's go in there and kill them and take over." And that was pretty much the point, was to go and take over. And there's not, you know, now at this point in the WoW universe, you know, the Horde in general were not the bad guys. You know, it's just, it's two opposite sides both fighting for their own survival kind of thing. And
they all have their own motives and whatever.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see if they, and I get it. Like, this did set up the whole story. I mean, it's tough to really explain the Lich King arc, if you will, without explaining how the hell all this started in the first place.
Right.
How the hell these orcs got here, mm-hmm. you know, and I guess you do have to let people know that, yeah, the orcs are basically aliens on Azeroth. And but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle this in one movie. I'm sure a lot of stuff will be cut out and it'll be much more tightened up.
Yeah. But, plus you can't do a movie that is just strictly, oh, they're coming through the portal, here we are to attack, boom, go. It's not as simple as an old mid-90s RTS setup. It needs to be more than that. So chances are he'll bring out that complexity and character depth and all that stuff with characters that we either know or don't know about yet, or that he'll make up within this world or work with Metzen on, or I don't know what. But it does feel a little bit weird to jump that far back and not go into the, I guess the easier road in my mind is the Arthas story. Like, that's the simpler yeah. tale.
And I discussed this with Chad recently, Epic Diapers, if you will, mm-hmm. or Six. I discussed it with him, and I was like, well, if for the first Warcraft movie, you're going to need it to appeal to kind of everybody, right? So if you make it really specific to the Warcraft universe, to things that'll only be references caught by the people who play the games, you might not gather all these other people. And a story like Arthas is definitely going to grab people. I mean, it's Star Wars, you know, but in a fantasy setting, basically.
Right.
And so a lot of people are going to be able to identify with that as something that they like. And this, to me, seems a little bit more specific. But again, if it's the first movie and you think of the Arthas story as maybe the epic finale type of thing, which I don't even know after Arthas would Deathwing be an epic finale to a trilogy? I don't know.
Probably not.
So this to me seems like maybe a good place to start if you're trying to build to that. But they got their work cut out for them as far as making this interesting to everybody without them knowing the backstory of this.
I'd be cool if it went game by game. I mean, I'd be all right if it was like, all right, orcs and humans, go. All mm-hmm. right, next one.
Tides of Darkness. Movie.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that one. More war, okay. Some additional stuff that kind of makes sense here and there. And then you get to three where you really open it up to different races and different mm-hmm. archetypes and the Night Elves and all this business comes into play and it gets kind of to be a big deal. And then you head into the WoW era where really anything's the limit. And you by then, hopefully, you've established some interesting character arcs. I mean, we're talking about thousands of years of difference, so it's kind of a problem. Sure.
They should just make like 10 movies. Right. They should just keep on going forever and ever.
I mean, I'm really curious about it because this is a chance. This is a real chance for them to say, let's blur the lines between what people think of a video game movie and a good epic fantasy film. Let's see if we can make people forget that it's about a game or not distrust it because it's about a game, but actually approach it and go, oh, wow, this is good. This is great, and it doesn't. Who cares that it came from a game? That's hard to do, man. Real hard to do.
It is hard to do. I mean, the nerd in me wants what you said. It wants a movie based on every game. I mean, that's to me that would be very satisfying. But again, it's for Blizzard and for the movie companies that are behind this movie. They need to make it about putting butts in the seats, right? So mm-hmm. it's a little different. It's a little different way to attack it than what, if me and you were to write these movies and say, whoa, start with orcs and humans, like that would be incredibly satisfying. But I don't know if it's going to, grab the attention of everybody else. Right. So.
And maybe at some point they said, well, look, we know that our base of fans are going to go see this movie. That's a given. There's no problem. They're all going to go. We don't have to fight for their tickets. They're going. It's everybody else we have to appeal to. And no matter what you do, no matter what era you start with, no matter what game you start with, this is all going to be foreign to the larger mainstream audience. That's true of Lord of the Rings is not like everyone who's seen that movie and made it a giant success, read the books, and still has probably never read those books.
Yeah, exactly. And think of Game of Thrones. I mean, all the people who are watching the show are not people who read all those books.
No, those are tomes, man. They're huge.
The Red Wedding, everyone was like, oh, my God, that really happened. And, my roommate who's read all the books was like, yeah,
Yeah, guys. Totally happened. Keep going. Keep moving.
Yeah.
There's more stuff.
This is just part of it. There's more after.
Nothing to see here. Just keep moving on. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. So because that can be done, mm-hmm. I hope that's the approach here. That the approach is, all right, well, fine. We start where we want to start, not where we feel like the mainstream wants us to start. And we just build a fantastic film around that, no matter where that, what that era is. And let's get a franchise going, and let's see if Duncan Jones is worth the, you know, worth all the hype. And I think he is. And Duncan, I trust on this one. I think, I mean, you know, he's what's his name's son. How can you go wrong?
Well, you know, Thirsty Bear in the chat actually makes a good point that Medivh could be the main character who's the kind of the good guy corrupted and all that stuff too. So you've got these characters throughout. You just have to pick out where the interesting story is in all of these games.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, this, yeah, they've got the first war, second war, third war. You got all these wars you got to cover. But you don't have to get so deep into these. And you can have time pass and you can do things like that. But it's all going to be about the characters. It's going to be about picking out the characters that are engaging to people who don't know anything about them, right? Yeah. You have to set them up and you have to deliver on those setups. And I feel pretty good about the ability of Blizzard to put out a quality product here.
I agree.
Because they're not gonna half-ass this. This is be full-assed by Blizzard.
It is a little more expensive if you have to get the end of it and say, nah, we're gonna reset. So that's one thing they can't do here as much or as easily. They're not dealing with virtual goods. They're gonna have a lot of finished, pressed, done, contracted, actory things. You're $300 million down the road. You can't exactly just go, eh, let's reset it. So this is the thing, you know, I know they have to be more careful about, but like you said, I trust all the parties involved to do the best they can. Let's see if the end result matches up to that so that Duncan doesn't have to listen to his dad go, I thought you were going to make a Labyrinth sequel.
You know what? Here's the one thing I don't want them to do. I don't want them to, well, first of all, don't get David Bowie in it. Yeah. But I don't know, maybe. But don't do the thing where it's like an ensemble cast. I really don't think that's the way they should go. I think they should go with kind of unknown actors where we can think of these people as that character and not as, you know, Tom Cruise. Like that's
totally
a problem
agree.
That I think a lot of movies have is where they you know, and Avengers was able to kind of pull it off because we'd already set these characters up in individual movies and things.
Right. Plus Joss Whedon knows how to make an ensemble cast do things, you know?
Exactly. But what I think would be better is if we never think of these people as that person, and we only think of them in terms of their Warcraft character,
right?
And then it would just feel so much more real, you know.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings had some bigger names, but actually they had a lot of bigger names, but you know, they still kind of, people looked different enough.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you tread that line, and you did things with actors that you may have known before, but now you really know them. You know, it's to me, it's like the cast of it's the Star Trek reboot. It's those guys.
Yeah.
They're relatively unknown. You're like, yeah, I saw Heroes a few times, and I knew that Siler character was. Sure is good at Spock, though, isn't he? Like, it wasn't like these guys were – we're not talking about Brad Pitt-level dudes.
No,
and that's,
exactly.
I agree with you. They got to stay away from that. I don't even want regular B-tier folk in here. Like, who's the British guy that's in every movie now? Action guy. What's wrong with me? He's like the Van Damme of our day. British guy, bald.
You're talking about from The Transporter and stuff like that?
Yeah, that guy. We can't think of his name.
Yeah, I know. Why am I not? Why am I blanking too? Sorry, I was thinking of like Elijah
Statham,
Wood.
Jason Statham.
Just now, so.
Yeah, but see, like Elijah Wood's a good example, though. Like Elijah. Wait,
okay, so he's fairly well known, right?
But still, he wasn't so well known.
He's not Brad Pitt.
No.
Yeah.
Like to me, Elijah Wood is like, I mean, I loved him in Avalon. He was just a little kid in that, but man, what a great movie. And then kind of knew him from that stupid North piece of crap that tanked real bad and like a few things here and there and whatnot. Like he was in Deep Impact, but nothing like Lord of the Rings. And so Lord of the Rings was their star making moment.
Yeah. No. And then like Orlando Bloom was kind of a big deal, but he looked so weird in this movie. In the Lord of the Rings movies that he kind of didn't care that it was him.
And for a lot of people, like in my case, I don't think I'd seen Orlando Bloom until that movie. The only other thing I'd seen him in was like Black Hawk Down and he died in the first 10 minutes or something.
Yeah. So, well, but I was like, and Viggo Mortensen, I'd seen a ton of movies with him, but he wasn't, he's such a like kind of character actor too. I mean, he plays different stuff in every movie.
Yeah.
that it didn't really matter so much. But, you know, like Ian McKellen was kind of like the biggest well-known dude to me. Yeah. And
he was Magneto. Again, that was it. So,
yeah.
But before again, Magneto, I didn't even really think about it. And he's a guy that can inhabit whatever. He's the Patrick Stewart of the joint. So
yeah.
I really have no problem with what – there's a huge – well, I guess what I'm saying is there's a huge swath of actors to choose from and to work with that aren't A-list 20 million a movie guys. So if they don't – if they stay away from that, then – I agree.
Yeah, and we've done on this show our kind of fantasy booking of these actors and stuff, but yeah. I think in the end it's let's not think about getting all these, you know, cast of stars. Let's just get guys who embody the role that they're going to play.
No, and Hayden Christensen is the only rule I have.
Okay. I agree with that.
Yeah.
We'll start there.
Yeah. Cuz Relatively Unknown didn't really help him much. He was real bad. He was kind of terrible. Oh, I don't know if you heard the rumor. New Star Wars movies are going to have the High School Musical kid in it. What's his name?
Shite. From 13 going on 30? That guy?
No, maybe. Ah, come on, guys out in the chat. You guys know this guy's name. Anyway.
Look, you know that we don't know names.
I cannot think of his name. Freaking, because I don't. Zac Efron. It's really? Just a rumor. Okay. It's just a rumor, but. There's some talk of it. Now, here's the funny thing.
I don't hate Zac Efron.
No, I've actually seen – I don't remember what they were, but I can actually think of a couple of things I've seen him do that were pretty good. Like, the guy – it seems like he can maybe act, right? But I would like the Star Wars movies to do what you're saying. I'd like them to avoid people we know. I want to see new – like we did in 76 or 7, whatever it was, and all the way up through that series, I want to see people I don't really know.
Who was the biggest name in the Star Wars movies? It was James Earl Jones, right?
Yeah.
Who you never saw on screen anyway.
Well, him, John Gilgood, not Gilgood. Is it Gilgood? Whoever it was, it played Obi-Wan Kenobi. I guess he was, you know, Alec Guinness. That's it. Sir Alec Guinness. He'd been in a million things, sure. Old school actor.
But he was not super big here necessarily in America. Anyway.
Well, and plus our age group. Yeah.
Billy Dee Williams was kind of a name, you know, but.
That's true. Harrison Ford, nobody knew who he was.
Not a name at that point. Yeah.
We'd all seen American Graffiti, but we didn't know that was going to turn into this. So yeah, there are moments. I would say Alec Guinness in Star Wars is basically the Gandalf, mm-hmm. in more ways than one. But it's this aging actor's awesome nerd entry into cool films that kids are way into. And so you jump to the prequels and you start adding Samuel L. Jackson and you add freaking Liam Neeson and all these people. That's mm-hmm. fine. But I think that's dangerous. So I just think you have to be careful. That's all. I don't have a problem with some extra or some old king or something being an actor that I recognize. But
yeah, what happens though is you get too hung up on, oh my God, it's that guy, you know, and that's not, I don't think that those moments actually help a movie. I think they actually hurt a movie mm-hmm. because when it happens, all you're thinking about is, oh my God, it's that guy, mm-hmm. not, you know, what's happening right now in the movie. And there's a lot of movies too that do this where like the cameo of some character, they get some big actor to play it. And it works in certain movies, but not when you're really trying to get people immersed in the story. I don't think it really works.
It's your Nick Cage problem. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You don't want that guy in your movie if you want people not to pay attention to the fact that it's Nicolas Cage.
The fact that it's Nick Cage, yeah, and they're waiting for him to start yelling and stuff. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll know more as it goes on. Big change this week. Hearthstone Forge, which they did a big live stream of and explained how it worked and everything a couple days ago, is now renamed the Hearthstone Arena. The arena is their build and battle mode where you construct a 30-card deck on the fly and then do battle with it out then battle it out with other arena players. You're presented with three random cards at a time, and you'll choose one of the presented cards to go into your deck. After 30 cards have been selected, you'll have a full deck of destruction that you can use to crush your enemies and your opponents. The arena really puts your deck building knowledge to the test. Your neck building. Building some sweet necks. And it's just one of the many fun ways you can play Hearthstone. So Bashiok informed me this on Twitter before I had seen it and basically said this should solve our very specific point of confusion on the last couple of episodes about what the Forge actually is. And I think he's right. And I'm sure that once again, we have influenced this decision because we were confused.
Well, the Forge, yeah, it doesn't sound like this to me. The Forge sounds like where I go to make cards.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Not where I go to make decks. So
yeah, it's weird.
I think this is a good way to the arena. Okay, that works. That sounds right.
That's fine.
And how much did you watch of the video? Did you, because it was playing while we were recording last
week. Probably half, latter half,
Yeah, because I immediately turned it on after it was done.
Yeah.
But they, at that point, had already done a bunch of plays, mm-hmm. A bunch of battles.
Yeah.
And I think they did one more full one after that. So it was kind of tough at that point for me to kind of understand the gameplay because mm-hmm. it was very – what they were doing was very detailed in advance. I mean, they clearly know the decks, obviously, these guys.
Right.
But as, from someone who's played a little bit of Magic, mostly just the app, but a little bit of Magic in real life now at this point.
Yeah.
There's some big differences between the two games, mainly being like the cards actually lose health over time. So let's say you get attacked and your card has, you know, 8 health or whatever it is, and then you, someone takes 5. He actually now has 3 even the next turn,
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah.
Your actual player, not the card, can do some attacking. So there's some, and then there's a lot of like, interesting spells and stuff too. It was really actually very complicated and detailed gameplay. And I was pretty excited about it.
I'm beyond stoked. I can't freaking wait. And my prediction still, I mean, I'm still holding out for a summer, beta, but I think it's going to be, it's either in this month or we're waiting until freaking BlizzCon. I'm telling you.
Well, it looks close. I think their main problem was the matching and stuff like that. The actual finding of someone to play and all that kind of stuff. Mm. I think at this point it's logistical stuff. That's not even the actual gameplay, the rules, the settings, the cards, like that kind of stuff seems to be fairly
right.
fleshed out. It's just now we got to figure out how to connect people without any problems and not have people dropping and all that kind of stuff. So
yep.
It's close. It looks real close.
Well, in smaller news, the PTR videos have been popping up showing the in-game store. We actually put out a poll yesterday asking the Instance listeners what they thought of the upcoming in-game store that's coming to the game. And got a ton of results, and here's how it broke out. It's kind of interesting. Your options were great, seems like the thing to do. Option 2 was bad, terrible idea, and it's bad for the game. And option 3 was withholding judgment until I see it in use. I'm happy to report that our listenership is a pretty fair-minded, even-handed group who wants to kind of see it before they judge it.
Mm-hmm.
59% overall say they would rather wait and see. Second place is great, seems like the thing to do. So actually a positive response there with 24% and 17% to the bad, terrible idea, it's bad for the game votes. Yeah, the videos are interesting because it's just what you expect it to be. It's Blizzard interface looking, wow, interface clicking, yes, I want to buy a flask of whatever looking stuff. And they're giving, so if you're on the PTR, they're giving you free currency to test it and mess around with it. And from what I've heard from people who are using the PTR, they think it's fine. They're not, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think this does speak to our listener base, which is people who want information. I mean, if you're listening to a podcast about a game you're into, you somebody who wants information, right? So these people are not going to pass judgment until they see it. And the fact is, the people who didn't say I'm going to pass judgment, that's a positive response. So if you say that probably that would in the end kind of transfer over to that 60% who say, well, I'm waiting to judge, if you got the mostly positive out of those people, which I would say it'll probably even be more positive than the 24% or whatever.
Right.
This is going to be a somewhat popular feature.
Yep.
So
yep.
It's looking like, you know, and it's looking like from what I've seen so far too, that they're taking it pretty seriously and they're doing a good job of it. So
yeah.
even if you don't like the feature, the implementation of it is going to be pretty solid.
Absolutely. So, all right. Yeah. Well, I think we're going to
give me 1 second though, Scott, because actually I think my house cleaners are here.
So oh yeah. It's that moment. Yeah. All right. That gives me a second to pee.
Usually I can just, you know, sneak away and you and T can handle the next portion.
No,
but,
you go ahead. And I'm going to pee.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Yeah. We'll be right back, everybody. Hey guys, I'll just take a moment to tell you that I love Audible. I've told you this before, but I'm not kidding. And that's the thing about our sponsors. I don't have any sponsors I don't use. I use them all. I love all the products that we use, and audible.com is no different. I love Audible for all of the fantasy and sci-fi books that I'm hooked on that I can get there, read by great voiceover dudes, you know, professional voiceover dudes. There's so many to choose from their giant library of well over 100,000 titles. That includes not just books, that's periodicals, that's all kinds of stuff. One way or the other, Audible.com deserves to be in your ears, especially if you like listening to stuff I like listening to, like World of Warcraft books, like the Lord of the Rings series, like anything from David Eddings. Oh, man, love me some David Eddings. So would you. Here's the thing. If you haven't tried it before, you can get a book free. First one's free, baby. All you got to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/wow. That'll get you a free audiobook today. That's audiblepodcast.com/wow. We thank Audible for their support of the show.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
Hey, everybody, check it out. It's the town crier. Town crier brought to you today by Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com, where you can use Henry for double the memory or GURP for the free t-shirt money. We tell you about it each week. You know the deal. Best part about those guys is they make the best freaking gaming rigs on the planet. I love mine. You'll love yours. That's doghousesystems.com. Go there today and see what you can find that'll fit your needs. All right. Time for you guys to hear your phone calls and read your emails. They're easy to send in. And by the way, our old number works again. I don't know what happened, why it didn't work for a while, but now it does. 206-202-3969. That's 206-202-3969. That phone works. So leave us a message. Happy to play it. If they're 2 minutes long, we're not playing them. Just another little warning. I get a lot of those. I don't know why you guys keep sending them, because they don't get played. Or you can also send your attached MP3s and your emails to theinstance@gmail.com. Here's call number one. How hard is it to come back to the game?
Hey, my name is Ben Ains from the Stonewall server. I'm just calling because I've been trying to reactivate my account since after Cataclysm. And it always, because I forgot my password, it always tells me the customer service line tells me I have to wait 24 hours, so I end up not doing it. But I've been wanting to come back. I just want to say that. All right. Thanks, guys. Later.
So I had this problem with Tor. I was going to hop in there and see what's going on. Just like, yeah, let's see how the free-to-play things landed. It's been a few
months. Yeah, I'm supposed to do that, too. I was talking to Pell a lot at BlizzCon, or BlizzCon, Nerdtacular.
Yeah.
NerdCon. And I was like, BlizzCon, yeah, I'm going to get back in like there, man. I'm going to finally, you know, get going, and let's do some flashpoints, blah, blah, and still haven't done it. So you tried, huh?
I tried, and here's the problem. So there's so much security in these games now. WoW has certainly led the charge, and everyone else has their own, you know, authenticators or, you know, second or third level, whatever authentication that you have to go through to get stuff done. And because I couldn't remember, it wasn't my password. Password was fine. My phone, I'd gotten a new phone since I last played Tor, and I don't have the app anymore, and I don't have that phone anymore, and I never deauthorized it. So they need that authenticator app for me to even do anything. Now, I know I could go through all these hoops, but here's the problem he ran into. He's got to get on the phone for like 2 hours with and wait for support. When he finally gets a hold of them, then they can get them all taken care of. And I'm just at a point in my life where I don't have time to spend 2 hours on the phone with just about anything.
Yeah.
So I don't, and I gave up. I went, well, that's it. I guess I'm not playing Tor. And so I didn't. This is kind of a problem, and it's interesting because Blizzard said in that earnings call, we're going to make it easier and easier for people to get back into the game. I think what they're talking about is the world will be easier to approach again. You'll know where to go as soon as you get in. I mean, there'll be more prompts perhaps or something to get you where you need to be to catch up and get geared and everything else. But
which is missing a big aspect of getting back into the game.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Getting back into the game.
But for a guy, if a guy leaves for a year and comes back to the game and can't remember his password, which is a totally possible thing to not have. I mean, that seems like, if you're away from the game that long, why would you necessarily remember your nice complex password, or you've lost your authenticator or whatever? That part of the process I think needs to get simpler, because at some point it's almost easier to start a new account, you know, like just like I wouldn't want to, like, to get back into Tor, I'd need all my characters. I'm not going wrong.
There's no way I'm going to level through all that again. I mean, the story is so good and everything, and playing through that story is fantastic, but I would not want to do the same story with the same type of character again.
How I feel about Breaking Bad. I love that story. I freaking love that show, but I don't want to go back and watch that again.
Really? I love old episodes of Breaking Bad. Just because you know stuff that you didn't know. Yeah.
I can't do it.
And you see the character when he wasn't the way he is now and stuff like that. It's, oh my God.
Because I can't wait for the next. Like, new episode, stuff coming. I mean, I'm so stoked. I can barely stand it. But, and maybe give me a few years. But right now, I have no desire. That's how I felt about Lost. It's like, I can't go back.
Yeah. Lost, I could definitely see. But we all know that the most rewatchable show of all time is Arrested Development. That show.
That's true.
You can watch any episode at any time, and it's awesome because you find new stuff.
Futurama's in that category for me as well.
Sure.
Just
sure.
Watching over and over and over, and you never get tired of it. Actually, yeah. most of the shows I could point to and say I could watch that over and over are usually animated. occasionally live action, so I could watch Seinfeld pretty much anytime you give me a chance.
Yeah. Seinfeld's fine. Always Sunny, somebody said in the chat that
yeah,
I was going
to
say.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. MASH for old school people. MASH is pretty easy to get into and just watch again. But yeah, Arrested Development. Oh, Better Off Ted, by the way, on Netflix. Only two seasons that ever lasted, but that is one of the greatest shows ever.
That was funny.
Made.
Yeah, that was a really funny show and it just went away. You can't make really funny shows anymore because they just don't last.
Or really good shows. Like we're lamenting the loss of Tron Uprising on Disney Channel, which was this really cool kind of. I don't know what to compare it to. It was some traditional animation with some computer stuff, and it was better Tron than any Tron before. Like, made the movie look like garbage. It was so good.
Yeah. Well, and the movie really was garbage, if you think about it.
It was terrible.
The world was really cool, but the movie itself as a movie?
Well, in both cases. Like, the first, first movie was weird and old and kind of, you know, doesn't hold up on the story level. But the world's amazing. You get to the new one. The new one had so much freaking potential and just freaking sucked.
It was like watching, you know, the original one. When I watched the original one again, it was like watching War Games. You remember that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was just like, this is what we thought computers were like back then. Like, we thought there was little guys in there running around, and viruses were bad guys. Yep. Like, then they were in there trying to mess things up. And, like, War Games, like, we thought, oh, if some kid has, you know, he has an Apple IIe, he can friggin' start a world war. Like, that's how it works. Yep. And no, it's not how it works.
Matthew Broderick will kill us all.
Yeah, it's not how it works, guys.
I'll tell you what, though, Uprising's great. The only episodes ever made are on Netflix, and it's totally worth watching. It'll just make you mad that nothing good can be on TV anymore, at least not mainstream-wise, because of, you know, I mean, I understand it's a business. If the money's not there, you can't keep making expensive episodes, but damn, dude, so good. Really, really good. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about that.
Happens.
Warcraft. Here's a call about the distinction between things you earn.
Wait, should we talk about this guy's call?
Oh yeah, well a little bit.
We kind of did. Yeah. So it is hard, and Blizzard needs to
make
to
it
concentrate
easier.
On that.
Yeah, make it easier. But and it sounds like.
But what about the game itself, though? Too. Do you feel like if you left for a while and you came back, it would be difficult to get? Because I feel like the game has actually gotten to the point now where there's so much things you can do to help you get back into the swing of things. I don't think it is as hard as it once was.
Well, it definitely wasn't. I'm sure there are little things they could do. Like, one really nice thing is if you've not been in for a while and you get in and this talent tree thing is new to you, you didn't see it when it dropped.
Yeah.
There's a really nice kind of core usage chart that shows up the minute you go to your talents. And it says, hey, check it out. Here are your, like for me, here's your focus dumps. Here are your best things to be using all the time. Here's kind of a light rotation in this spec. And they give you kind of a get back into it. And, oh, okay, cool. So it used to be that Arcane Shot was useless, but now that's actually really a good thing to have. And I want to be using that when I'm full of, you know, I've got a lot of focus and not when I don't. And when I don't, I want to be using this other shot. And so you kind of are led back in that way. I think more of that sort of thing would be great. So if Blizzard could somehow dynamically know that this guy's not been in a year and all the things that have changed in a year, if you could just give them a simple way to get there or give them something that says, hey, in the game now, you could take these three different paths. And one of them is this, and the other one's this, and here's another way to get this, and good luck.
Well, here is where Proving Grounds, not just for level 90 characters, would be a great thing.
Oh, because, yeah, wouldn't it, though?
Yeah, if you come back in, we should have Proving Grounds for all of those type, you know, kind of old level caps that you used to have, so you can kind of get back into where you were at that point with the changes that have been made. So like a level 60 Proving Ground, a level 70, a level 80, 85, and then level 90. So you can actually go, well, okay, here are my new abilities. How the hell do these actually work in real life? And and then you get a chance to mess with them and figure it out.
It's a great tweet from Greg that we didn't read today, but it says, Proving Grounds at level 90 is a missed opportunity. Shouldn't this be encouraged at lower levels, i.e. 30, to earn your roles or learn your roles? Greg replied, Greg Street, if the feature proves popular, that's funny, we'll certainly expand the idea. We'd have to change the content quite a bit for lower levels, however. So that's an important point. Yeah. But still,
if it's popular, it would be work. It'd be work on their part, but I think that it would help bring people back into the game, or at least smooth that transition out where people wouldn't give up. Right. You know, the people who did go through the rigmarole of starting their account again would then not, you know, get frustrated and bail.
Yeah. So the answer is make it easier and Tron Uprising. All right. Moving on to the distinction between bought and earned items.
Hey, guys, this is Weeble from the AIE Guild on Earthen Ring. You're helping me move. I'm heading to the east and had a thought on items that people work hard to get and then those that get same or similar items later with easier difficulty. Borrow a page from the book of Game of Thrones. Mark one of the items as bought with the iron price and mark the other as bought with the gold price. Take care. Thanks, guys.
Okay, it kind of supports our idea of
differentiating by name or color or whatever it might be.
Sure.
But yeah, no, it's you know, it's a good thing. Like, it's just take the title and change that. Either way, however you do it, this guy makes a good point that if you do that, you're going to kind of take away the argument against these things.
Well, let's see what Anthony says, because he wrote in on this very subject and says, hey, sure. Guys, I love the show. I'm a couple of weeks behind in listening, but I was listening to the vanity item cost conversation on episode 333. One point not mentioned is that the price point might be that high, $15, to be prohibitive enough so everyone is not wearing the same item, as there is nearly no cost to production nor profit need. The normal rules of demand do not apply, enforcing price points. So again, because these are virtual goods that just come out of thin air, they're not really a commodity. They're just a thing you throw money at, and that's the reason the prices are high. That got me to thinking about this matched with that call. If I want to go buy an item, Blizzard, make it unique so that I can tell the difference, but also make it meaningfully. This doesn't help me or you, because you and I don't want to spend a bunch of money on fake stuff, right? This is a problem for you and I. But I understand why the price might be high, because then you can actually kind of say, well, yes, you earned it by grinding for 12 days, but I earned it by spending 20 of my hard-earned dollars. And if it was cheap, people wouldn't care at all.
No, and this is true, and this is definitely a point and a reason why the prices are probably where they're at. But, you know, again, it's just we are – so this is the gatekeeper keeping out us, right?
Right.
He says we're not going to spend this money on these items. And so, you know, it's literally acting the way that he's saying that it should act. And that's keeping the people who wouldn't buy it from buying it, which is us. And the people who do buy it will still buy it, whether it's $5 or $15. And they're the ones who now get to say, I have it. So,
yeah. Yep,
it works. It's definitely working in that fashion. I still think though that when you're talking about some pixels on the screen, I don't think they should be this much.
It's not worth your 20 bones, dude. 25.
Not at all. No. Not even close.
Right. Yeah. I think there's a. I don't know. I think there's a middle ground that they haven't quite reached yet, and I think we'll get there because if a lot of things start to be for sale, that will affect how that economy works and.
Yeah, I find it funny though how people have kind of found a way to talk themselves into certain things being worth certain amounts of money and certain things not being worth that money. Mm-hmm. So, say like a 99-cent app, people will be like, "Oh my god, I'm not paying 99 cents for this thing." But people will that same person will then go to a bar and spend $5 on a single pint of beer, or that same person will spend $25 on a single dinner. Things like that, like those things have that value innately somehow in our brain, but like a 99-cent app, it's like, no, screw that. There's no way I'm spending that.
Right.
It's very bizarre to me, but it's
a chunk of change when it costs as much as a copay at a doctor's office.
Yeah. I go to bars and I'll regularly go to a bar on a weekend evening and come home and be like, wow, I spent $60 tonight, and then I'm like, was that worth it, or should I have bought some comic books or something, you know? But in the end, I'm not going to stop doing that. I enjoy going out and I enjoy hanging out with people and stuff, and it's just in my brain. I've gone ahead and found a way to talk myself into that being worth $60 to me to go out on a Friday night and hang out with my friends.
Illustrated it well. It's just what you value. And if people value spending $25 on every mount that comes along, I am not here to tell you you're wrong at all.
No, absolutely not.
It's just not it's not my thing. I love those mounts, don't get me wrong, and I want them all. But I don't value them enough to do either the grind or the $25 a pop.
Sure, yeah, and that's the thing. The value to you doesn't equal the value of the item doesn't equal the amount of work or time or money.
Right.
And to some people, it absolutely does. To some people, getting an achievement that actually does nothing in the end, but pop a little achievement thing, give them 10 more achievement points,
right,
is totally worth their time.
Right.
And I will never tell anybody that they're wrong for that being worth it to them. Never, ever.
No. It's all the way you want to play the game. I totally get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see here. Oh, that's it. That's emails. Let's do a let's hear drop of the week.
The drop of the week.
So, do you remember that song early in WoW's lifespan where I spelled it wrong on the thing, so I'm changing it. It was that old World of Warcraft that you play song that everybody was all into, and it's pretty nostalgic if you were into like early WoW. Somebody put up a video with a kind of revamped kind of ska version of this song, and I thought it sounded pretty cool, so I was going to share it here. We'll put it in the show notes so people can get it, but here's just a taste. Wait a second for everyone. You'll know when it gets there.
When you see, you can transform into almost anything. You'll be confused with so much choice. Just go boomkin and you won't have to try. Hunter! You are the best freaking class in the game with the burst that helps you eat everything.
That's right, Hunter's your best. So, we're going to wait here for the chorus because that's the part you'll remember. It's taking a while, though. Now they're talking about mages. Anyway, it's the Warcraft that you play. It's a World of Warcraft. Anyway, if you've played the game or if you've listened to any of the Machinima or any of the song stuff for the last, I don't know, 8 years, you'll remember that song. Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty rad, and the video is cool. So
this is like Mad Caddies or RX Bandits did that song. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like it. I think ska is long overdue for a major comeback, by the way. Don't you feel
it had its second wave.
Did
you
know? It? How big it's was cool. That wave, though? Kind of, it's a little puddle is what that
well,
was.
Well, I guess that was the third wave. No, maybe it was the post-third. I don't know. There's actually, they call this stuff. They have names for this. Like when like Boss Tones became big, Dancehall Crashers, like some of these bands, like all kind of got big. I was really good friends with some guys in a band called Link 80. If anybody who doesn't know who those guys are, you should check them out if you like ska. Mm. It's kind of ska punk stuff, yeah. Really cool. But yeah, that I like it.
That was the trick with the old ska stuff is they had this. It was like reggae with like punk edge to it, and it got real good, and then it got real mainstream, and then it kind of got all gone.
Well, that was the thing when the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones did their whole thing with what was it? Never had to knock on wood.
Yeah.
And then they had the guy who just danced in the band, and that's all he did. But I'm like, okay, he likes Scott,
go find
Skank and Pickle, Mad Caddies, RX Bandits, Op Ivy. So many of these Aquabats,
really
so
good.
Many good bands that you should check out. The Chinkies.
The Chinkies were great.
Yeah.
A lot of San Francisco bands came out of that. Yeah, for sure.
You like really good ska. Hepcat is awesome.
They were like this weird counter to all the grunge crap coming out of the Northwest. It was weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good stuff. Go check it out. Go give it a listen. I was going to say something about some. Oh, also I think No Doubt kind of ruined ska a little bit.
Well, No Doubt was actually a real ska band for a while.
Yeah.
And then they you know, went off in a weird tangent.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some No Doubt records that I really like. Their drummer is a really good golfer, so I have a lot of respect for that guy. He's like a Scotch golfer.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. My favorite ska band growing up was Let's Go Bowling, if anybody remembers those guys. Well, Let's Go Bowling is fantastic.
Not familiar with that one. Does your buddy call it, instead of golf, not your buddy, but the guy you admire, instead of calling it golf, does he call it scolf? That's what I want to know.
No, but he should.
Okay.
It's like that punk, would be awesome.
Like punk golfing. That's great.
Punk golfing, yeah.
A little touch of reggae in there. Fantastic. All right. That's it, you guys. That's it. No contest this week. We'll have another one next week. We gave one away last week. We like to space these out a little bit. I do want to thank a few people who contributed to the show this week. For example, our folks, our good friends at GameTimeZone.com, where the code WARCRAFT saves you 5%. On game time purchase there. Also, The Other Way Around, Life and Gaming Podcast Deluxe at awaycast.com. You can follow those guys at The Awaycast. Also, YouTube channel Dr. Jimmy EU, home of the Azeroth Avage Jim. I think it might be average.
Average Jim?
I think it might
Is that
be
right?
average. I'm not sure, though. But
I would like it if it was average, Jim.
It says tons of awesome vanity items, rare mobs, gold making, PvP, and much more. Also from holyshat.net, want a free copy of the upcoming WoW Tribute art book? How about a free game time? How about some free game time? How about a co-host from the country that has money with holes in it? He's talking about Canada because they totally have holes in their money. Check out Holy Shat with Sigmandis, and Xantar, I believe is how you'd pronounce that, on iTunes, Stitcher, and at holyshat.net. That's Shat with two S's, like, or two T's, sorry.
I would like Holy Shat to just be a site when you go to. It's just William Shatner wearing a Pope hat.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
Performing weddings on the cheap.
That would be amazing.
That'd be really good. And then finally, another way around life and gaming podcast, Deluxe. I already mentioned those guys, didn't I? Did I? Anyway, awaycast.com. Listen, laugh, and participate as the guys talk life, games, and everything in between. Follow on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube to find another way around. Oh, I know why, because they're doing TMS stuff too, so it sounded familiar. Anyway, that's another way around at awaycast.com. All right, that's it. Dills, what's going on, man? You got anything cool going on? How's your team doing?
My team, we just won two in a row, so that's like a huge winning streak for us right now. Yeah. But things are not going well, although we went past the trade deadline, didn't trade any of our players, so that was kind of fun for the fans. Mm-hmm. But as a guy who is a little more than just a fan, I was actually kind of hoping for a retooling so we could get ready for next year. And Brian Wilson is dead to me. There you go.
Okay. I love it, man. Hard.
Yeah,
so
I got no plugs. Just wanted to say Brian Wilson is dead to me.
Plug that right up. All right, sweet. Well, we should have Terpster back next time. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Chatroom, for being here live. We always appreciate it. If you want to support our good friend Matthew Oxley, who does our theme music, you can go to MatthewOxley.com. Leave us a review on iTunes or other podcast directories. We love reading those, so keep those coming. Big thanks to our intern, Paul Swickard. Forum show notes, archives, and more, and he works on those, at theinstance.net on Twitter. We're at Instance Show. You can find Dills at Willie Dills, me at Scott Johnson, and Terpster at _T. He doesn't need your help, though. Facebook.com/TheInstance is where you can find us on Facebook. And you can find more great shows just like this at frogpants.com. It's going to do it for us, for me, and for Dills, and for the, let's say, overworked Terpster.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next time.
Remember, Terpster, it's a trap!
It's a trap!
Hey Scott, Terpster, and Bill. My name is Connor. I live in Massachusetts. Just wanted to say thank you guys a lot for continuing the show. I've been listening off and on for a couple years now. I just graduated high school a couple weeks ago. I just got a really nice job. My parents have recently told me that they are going to be moving to South Carolina, and I can go along with them. But I am choosing to stay where I am now, and I'm living on my own now. And it's just been really nice to have you guys around. Just going through some old episodes. I'm all caught up now. It's just nice to have you guys, and my girlfriend's at work, and I'm all alone. Thank you very much for what you guys do.
Royal birth brings both joy and confusion. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. The royal family of Gilneas, House Greymane, has certainly suffered its share of tragedy in recent years. Since leaving Gilneas, they have sought to lead a relatively private life in Stormwind, and this includes Princess Tess, now heir to the throne, who is little seen outside the royal quarter. Rumors have recently abounded that the princess had become involved with a mysterious paramour and found herself in an expecting way. It turns out that the rumors were true, but this fact was discovered in a most unexpected fashion. A chambermaid getting fresh linens came upon the princess curled up at the back of a closet in worgen form. With her were 5 healthy newborn puppies, 2 boys and 3 girls. After getting over the shock of suddenly having 5 grandchildren, King Gen appears to be adjusting well to the situation. However, there is one complication. Which of the newborns is next in line for the throne after their mother? Tess cannot say which was born first, so at this point they are all considered potential heirs. But there will be time to sort that situation out. For now, the focus is on setting up a rather large nursery and procuring a sufficient supply of old newspaper. After all, the next full moon is just weeks away. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Evil Shoes?
Evil Shoes?
Evil Shoes.
Hey everybody, it's Evil Shoes again, and I am sharing knowledge like community college. I am giving you tips till your brain drips. I'm shivers, giving good advice. This week, Snafu from Vash Server writes, "Do you have any tips on mastering your character rotation?" Sure do, friend. The key to remember about character rotation is that it's actually one of two rotations in WoW. You've got your camera rotation, which is the left mouse button, and your character rotation is your right mouse button. To remember it, I don't know, maybe try and remember like a little kind of word association. So, you know, right mouse button is character. So, right character, RC, radio controlled, or ransack concrete, or rutabaga cola. Hey, I guess that's why they say this game's easy to learn but takes a lifetime to master. Am I right, people? If you have a question, you can email me at epicevilshoes@gmail.com or hit me up on Twitter at epicevilshoes. Until next time, cap your valor and your toothpaste.
Evil Shoes.
In the siege, there be no fear. There be no doubt. There be no pride. There be only the justice of war.
If you don't know any warlocks, then I'll let you in on a little secret. When it comes to looking good at being bad, warlocks can't help it, because it's inherent and it's in our nature. So this week, I would like to talk about a simple thing of beauty. Because not only does it look great, but it also serves a useful function as well. And that thing of beauty is called the Glyph of Nightmares. When a warlock chooses this glyph, both of our glorious class mounts, the Fellsteed and the Dreadsteed, are able to stand, walk, and run on water. And when you add the fact that it also displays a trailing line of fire and flames as the warlock travels, well, like I said, you have a simple thing of beauty. And another reason why people hate warlocks. And of course, when I say hate, all of you really know that I mean they're jealous. This has been Amy Jade, and you can find me at warlockery.com. And yep, I am that warlock.
This week's achievement is Waste Not, Want Not. The goal here is to use every weapon and power-up in the Domination Point scenario, or if you're Alliance, the Lion's Landing scenario. Now, towards the end of the scenario, when the three weapons are activated and they spawn up there, you don't need to use the weapons for this achievement's credit, you just need to select them. But, you know, it would help if you probably used them all. So you could throw a bomb, then run and grab the boomstick, then run and grab the rocket launcher. No big deal. So now that's done. As far as for the power-ups, again, you don't need to run the scenario many times to get them. Though you could. Depends how you're feeling. Maybe you want to get some points this week. Some gold. Yeah, that's alright. What a lot of people do is they kind of hang back. After the scenario is finished, and everyone is left, and you're there by yourself, you could run around and look for those power-ups. Just make sure you're not mounted when you go to collect them, because some of them won't count when you are mounted. They all do spawn rather randomly, so you could head over to slashgrats.com where I have a list of popular waypoints that they do spawn. If you do this correctly, you will get the achievement Waste Not, Want Not, and 10 points.
Past segments and notes are at slashgrats.com. You could follow me on Twitter at efinkg4. Good luck, and I'll see you next week.
Epic Diapers.
Hey, everybody, thanks. You're too kind, but all right, keep it down. Thanks. You know, sometimes I feel sorry for Death Knights and the bad rap they get. And other times, not so much. If you buy a weapon enchant, even though you have rune forging, you might be a death knight. If you use Dark Command as part of your DPS rotation, you might be a death knight. If rogues and hunters constantly thank you for making their classes look better, you might be a death knight. If you still think you can tank with any spec, you might be a death knight. If you take the talent threat of Thessarian because you think it increases your threat, you might be a death knight. If you fall asleep and pwn the keyboard with your face and still take down 27 elite mobs in Bloodspec, you might be a death knight. If your pet requires a bullet or katana to the head to kill it again, you might be a death knight. If your tune is named Death Bob or Crypt Stalker or Bones with a Z, you might be a death knight. Well, thanks, everybody. You've been a great crowd. Don't forget to tip your waitress. You can follow me at Epic Diapers or check out my website at epicdiapers.com.
And remember, it's hard to balance the pew-pew with the poo-poo.
Welcome to Signs of Warcraft. This week, the real age of the Draenei. We have covered before that warping space, like gravity does, can affect time. You will also experience a slower pace of time the closer you accelerate to the speed of light. So what does that mean for the Draenei? Unfortunately, we know little about the ships that the Draenei used to escape Argus and subsequently Draenor. What we do know is that the ships can plane shift or go between realms like the Twisting Nether. The speed or even method of travel while in the Nether is not known. We also do not know the effect that plane shifting has on time. Valen is said to have lived around 25,000 years. However, this could just be from his perspective. Perspective is important in science, and this makes answering this question even harder. It could mean that the Burning Legion as we know it has been around much, much longer. Equally, it could also throw the timeline of the Draenei's escape from Draenor off quite a bit. Send your own thoughts on this topic to scienceofwarcraft@gmail.com. And always remember that the world has much more depth than you realize.
Hello again. Welcome back to the Azeroth Archives. I am Ataristus, undead rogue and chief explorer for the Archives. While the space goat is out, I thought I'd fill you in on a couple of things he forgot to expand on last week. What the hell are Pit Lords and Dreadlords? Pit Lord's proper name is Annihilans, and they're half-humanoid, half-lizard demons, about 50 feet tall with massive tusks and vestigial wings. If you've ever been through the Dark Portal, you've seen one as soon as you tried to go down the stairs into Hellfire Peninsula. Magtheridon is another you may have seen and killed. They're too big for any fewer than an army of adventurers to even think of taking down, but aren't too bright. They'd rather eat you first and ask questions later. The Dreadlords are also known as Nathrezim, demons like the Pit Lords, but shorter, standing on 2 feet with horns instead of tusks, and able to communicate telepathically. They are the tacticians and field lieutenants of the Burning Legion, and can wield both arcane and fell magics. They are also known to be treacherous, such as Verimathras, who pretended to serve Lady Sylvanas, but instead sought to overthrow the Undercity. It is said that the Nathrezim are the Tal Kitun, the Unseen Guests. As always, my recommended method for dealing with both Pit Lords and Dread Lords is to stab them from behind and repeat until they die. Squid Face will be back next week with more of his history garbage. Dark Lady, watch over you until next we meet. Follow at Azeroth Archives on Twitter.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, do you give advice when you are on vacation? Being on vacation is no excuse to stop giving advice. If anything, It is a golden opportunity to enlighten even more people on the right way to do things. After all, your vacation will be much more enjoyable when those around you look after your needs properly. For example, if upon your arrival, the hotel's front desk does not immediately frighten your house gnome into submission with an oversized axe, you might question whether they are serious about customer service. Oh, and remember to tip well. Pushing your house gnome into the pool should do it. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. Akanagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgrew on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgrew.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.